You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these tracks up and down.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized there was something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like breaking day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size and everything else, they just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a tremor
manufactured.
The hand was freaking
out. Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot. Bigfoot lives. Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
What you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moxon Joe. Well, the party they gon' have out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, good. I felt any better. I have to see a doctor. I'm just top raw.
You sound like you already did see a doctor, Tom.
I not only saw one, I think I saw two or three. Do you know what? Nothing holds me back. I'll tell you right now, I'm in the midst of fire right now with so many things going on that I can't stop, even if I wanted to. You know, people who are dear to me just get off the phone and they says, Tom, the way you were in the hospital in the emergency room. How do you do it? You just keep going. I says, you know what I do? I put one foot in front of the other, and I keep on trailing down that road, man. And someday it's all got to pass, and someday we're going to make it all happen. And I don't know if you've noticed or not, Marco, but in our chat room, you've got to be very proud of our gang in there. There was some naysayer in there tonight, and they went to our defense, and they kicked them off.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to tell you.
I always say it's everybody can have their own opinion. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's just when you're really, really, you're in attacking mode, putting people down and hurting them, then that's too far. Either side, it don't make any difference. That's,
well, you know, Marco, in the world, today, with the economy on the downslide, unemployment on the downslide, and you know, it's making people crazy right now. It really is.
Oh, yeah.
When you get to the health, you know, you don't know whether to shit or go blind because you're up against it. So many people are up against it today, all right? And anybody that has a job today and anybody that has a roof over their head and they're getting three squares and clothes on their back, they're the lucky ones. I'm going to tell you that straight up. I think you know that yourself.
I sure do. You know, Tom, I got to say something. We've had scheduled here a couple of guys, younger guys on the show tonight, and the new people, and with their stories. And I got to tell you, I went to the Facebook sites, and unbelievable, patriotic, camo day. One guy's got camo day up there to recognize all the soldiers and the sailors and the airmen out there, men and women. And then another guy is the remembrance, a really neat song about 9/11. And I mean, it's just amazing. Through all these hard times, everything else, there's our younger generation of people are out there, and they have the patriotic feeling and the patriotic impulse that drives us on.
You know, you're right. That's the reason why I've got the patriotic feeling to thank Mike Kay in Ohio and Lance Garrison, Tree Hugger, and Tin Can and Snake Man and GBRI Director and Leroy for sticking up for us. I want to thank you guys from the bottom of my heart and from Marco Bill's heart. Because we can't be in all places at all times, ladies and gentlemen. But that just goes to show you that we have some loyal people out there who are with us. And you know what? Goes around, comes around. And thank you guys again from the bottom of our heart. I'm not going to talk any more about negativeness because that doesn't turn my button at all. But I'll tell you what, we got some great guests here in front of us for this next hour, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to get to each and every one of them. But we got the sick list out there, okay? Tim Walters' mom, she's not doing too well. We need some prayers out to her. Dan Allen and his wonderful wife, Alex's mom, Alex Hearn, you know, you hear me talk about my boy, his mom, Steve Dismore. Bruce Shupe had some good news. He had he's a granddaddy one more time. We're just so proud of you. You're continuing on that great old honor, aren't you, Bruce? Come on, shoot back some boys. I'm proud of you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, you asked for her back again. Talk about Lisa from Texas. Well, she's with us here tonight. You want to hear it all?
You know what, Tom? We got a new listener just came in. That was Travis dialing in. And Travis,
okay.
Are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, hey, Travis, hit your star six button. And then when it's time to come on, yeah, we'll bring you on, okay?
All right.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, we'll have Travis with us tonight, too.
Yep.
Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's get out there to Texas. Lisa, you with us?
Hello?
How you doing, sweetie pie?
Yes, I'm here.
You doing okay, honey?
Yeah, I'm doing all right tonight. How about yourself?
Well, I've been under the weather, but you know what? There's no bad days my way. I go forward each and every day. It doesn't matter to me.
Oh, that's good. I hope you get to feeling better.
Good. Tell me about what's the action been over there by your house.
Oh, well, you know, I try to take pretty much every night, and I get pretty much the same stuff, the rocks thrown at the house and the whistling and the stick breaking and stuff, and but what I found was awful funny, and being that you brought up the naysayer in the chat room earlier, was that I've got a nephew that was pretty skeptical himself, and he and his wife and his brother came down weekend before last, wanted to see for themselves. Well, he got a little more than he anticipated. So... Anyway, you know, I live right here near a lake, and there's a park directly across from us, one of the camp parks. And so just before dark, we had all go down into the park, and there were no campers in the park, okay? So we know there was no one coming up in through the woods towards our house, no campers. So, anyway, we get back up here to the house, and it was just as it was getting dark, we decided to head out onto the patio, and our first rock was thrown. He hadn't even got his seat warm yet. And they threw a rock at the house. And then it was just gone from there. They stayed here till probably 3, 4 in the morning. And we had several, you know, you could hear them walking. We heard a couple distant whoops. He had along about probably around 2 in the morning or so, he began to do a tree knock and whistle. And he got a reply back. He got a knock and a whistle back. And you could tell this, they weren't very far from us, just across the street in the woods. Well, earlier in the night, I've got a RV carport right here off the back, off my back porch, and a rock hit the top of it. So immediately the boys took off running towards that direction with the flashlights. And, of course, kind of see it, and that's towards the back of the house where the pasture of cows are. And, well, they didn't see anything, but one of them, I'm not sure which one it was, but somebody picked up a rock or a stick or something and threw it into the pasture. Well, they got a return rock thrown back at them. And I started to go over there with the guys, but then I thought, no, 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 because I had recently had read other researchers out there where sometimes they work in pairs. And so I stayed up on the front patio and was listening. And sure enough, I could hear one walking through the woods in front of the house while this one was distracting them. And I just found that so amazing. And anyway, needless to say, before the night was over with, he left not so skeptical anymore. And
you know, Lisa, I got to tell you a story. You know, it's amazing. You know, I hear it ever so often. You know, we get these naysayers, these non-believers, and then all of a sudden, they become a believer real quick, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
All real quick. And I'll tell you this, you know, it's amazing how you're being tempted and taunted and how they're really playing with you right now. Have you ever thought about why it's you and what they're doing and what they want from you?
Actually, yeah, I have thought about that. And I don't know the answer.
Thought about it, and you don't know the answer. Do you think, is your house buried on a specific area? Is it a burying ground where your house sits? Was it a burial ground?
You know what, Tom? It may have been, because this land has a lot of history to it. There is a lot of history to this land around this lake.
Because I'm going to tell you what, your story sounds so much like the other stories that I've seen and heard across the country. Now, you and I have never met, isn't that correct?
Correct.
We talked on the phone. I've heard your stories. I've heard your tales of woe. And I'm going to tell you, they really... And I'm trying to recollect now. You got to forgive me. I'm not getting any younger. Lisa, I'm getting older, as a matter of fact. But still, the marbles are still intact. But I'm trying to recollect, and I think it was in Kentucky. And something very similar happened. It happened to you. This woman had not one, but I think it was three. It was a small family pod. It was a youngin' and a female and a male. And it'd come back every night and torment her. Threw stones up on a porch, up at the windows. Okay? It would even leave things on her porch. Okay? And she started leaving food and other things. You might want to try that, Lisa.
Yeah, we've been discussing that.
Yeah, you know, leave some food and leave it in a certain spot And when you do that, here's what I want you to do. You know what? Remember when you were a kid, you used to have those big blocks of those chalks? You'd write them on the sidewalk and stuff?
Uh-huh.
They have that now, all right? They got plenty of that. You have baby powder in the house?
Yes.
Okay. What I want you to do is to, where the food's sitting, all around it, a perimeter of around 3 feet, I want you to put baby powder all around that thing, okay? Now we'll see how, but you got to make sure that they just can't reach over and grab it with their hands. They have to come up, climb on the porch, and walk to it.
Okay.
So put that baby powder all around it, about 3 feet in circumference, all around that food that you're going to leave out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what works for me, all right, and it works real well, is, you know, I'll take peanut butter. It doesn't matter if it's creamy or chunky, and I'll buy it in the plastic jars, not the glass jars, the plastic jars. And I'll get me, those little tins of sardines.
Yeah.
And I'll open it, and I'll put them up there, and I'll put it dead center. Okay? You put it, and take a saran wrap so you don't get that smell on your hands and stuff, and push it down in there. But just leave the tops out in the peanut butter. For some reason, they love peanut butter, and they love sardines. Okay?
Okay.
Leave that dead center, and then open up a couple of bananas where they can smell them, okay, and put them around the peanut butter. But remember to sprinkle that baby powder 3 feet all the way around. Now, anything that comes up on that porch is going to have to leave an impression, isn't it?
Right.
Okay? So that's the same way of us having a thing called mud to make an impression from the footprint, okay? And whatever it is in that area, whether it be a coon, whether it be a possum, whether it be a cat, whether it be a dog, whether it be a bear, whether it be a Bigfoot, they'll leave some kind of impression on that floor, on that surface. So why don't you try that? These things, for some reason, are trying to communicate with you. You must have some kind of special sense to make these things want to keep coming back. Either that, or your home or your land site is on a burial ground. Okay? They're very intuitive. These things are pretty damn smart. You see how you told me the story about there was one out in the front while they kept the other one busy in the back?
Uh-huh.
They're trying to taunt you. They're trying to find your ways and watch which way is going to when they can catch you off guard. They're trying to get into your home for some reason or underneath. Do you have any type of airway underneath your house? Is there a basement or is there a clearing underneath?
Yeah, it's a mobile home, so yeah, we have the clearing underneath it.
Okay. So I'm wondering if you have anything underneath your home. Have you ever? When was the last time you checked it out?
Not too long ago. My husband was under there. I mean, just the normal spiders and stuff, I suppose.
Okay.
I mean, is there anything particular we should be looking for?
Well, I would look and see if there's anything there that shouldn't be there.
Okay.
That's what I would be looking for because, and you don't know what's buried underneath. That's the whole problem, okay?
Right.
You know, it's. But I'll tell you what, I'm so proud of you. I really am, because not many people would put up with this. Have you called the authorities yet?
Actually, no, I haven't. But I have recently read that here in the state of Texas, that the game warden is now requesting that anyone have any experience sighting or anything like that to report it to them. I haven't done that yet. However,
well, you know what? Why don't you hold off until I get there myself?
Okay. I have noticed this past week, the game wardens have been heavy around here. Normally they're not, but this past week they've been really heavy around this area.
Well, doesn't doesn't deer season open up pretty soon?
Well, dove season does, or it's actually dove season now, I do believe. But we haven't been hearing anyone popping guns off, so as far as we know, there's no hunters out here on the local property, hunting property. So,
okay, all right, fair enough. Listen, I thank you again from the bottom of my heart coming on and sharing your story with us. But you know, you've been making it really interesting for my listenership out there, and they all wanted to hear you again. We've got about 5 or 6 different guests tonight. I want to get into our next one real quick here, but thanks again, and keep letting us know each week what's going on. I'll be out there to see you real soon, okay?
Okay.
God bless you. Thank you. Just mute yourself out. Tell them what button to mute out.
Yeah,
Marco.
*6 button, please.
You know, Marco.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you. She may come on next week and find and take some pictures of one huge footprint in that baby powder, I'll tell you.
I know.
You know, the thing people don't understand is, you know, there's a reason why these things keep wanting to get into that house or annoy these people. And it's because either they're on a burial ground, or there's something underneath that house that they want, or there's something inside that house that they want. And hook or by crook, they're going to get it. And I just, my schedule is just so tight right now. And believe me, you know, those who are close to me know what it's like. I mean, I can't even afford to get sick now because of all this crap I got going. And I thought the older you get, the more time that you have and to relax and just say the hell with everything, it just gets worse with me. But, you know, without any further ado, we need to get out there to Utah. We're going to talk to Jesse, ladies and gentlemen, just 3 weeks
Jesse,
ago.
Jesse, hit your star 7 button, Jesse.
He was hiking out there, and he had an encounter. Jesse, you with us?
Hello?
Is this you, Jesse?
Yeah, this is Jesse.
How are you, my man?
I'm good, my man. How are you?
Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Yo, I'm so excited right now. I'm ready to go.
All right. Well, listen, you're going to have the stage now, Jesse. I want you to tell everybody out there what happened to you 3 weeks ago, and don't leave nothing out, son.
All right, my friend. Well, about 3 weeks ago, I went on my annual hike up in the Uinta Mountains around the Black Fork drainage area. And it's about a 3-day hike, and I go up there every year, and I go alone, but this time I wasn't alone. And I hiked up for part of the day, and I stopped, and I sat on a rock, and I was eating my strawberry granola bar that I always bring with me on my hikes. And I heard some rumbling in the bushes a little ways away. So I stopped, and I stood up, and I looked over, and I just saw the hairy back end of this creature. And I mean, it was like nothing I'd ever seen before. And as it walked away, I muffled up enough courage to walk over there. And in these bushes, there was this pile of feces. And unfortunately, I didn't have a camera. I usually bring one. I didn't this time. And I started looking at this pile of dung. And inside of it was some assorted berries. It looked like there were some fish scales in there. Things like that, you know, like it's abundant up there. And so I just kind of set that aside and decided I'd just continue on my hike. And then that night at about, it had to have been around 2:00 in the morning, I was laying there in my sleeping bag and I heard these noises. I really honestly can't explain them. I mean, if I could, I'd love to, but it's to me, it sounded like something was mating about 50 yards away from me. It's the only way I can explain that. And so I laid there, scared, you know, and I finally fell asleep, and I woke up, you know, probably about 5:30, 6:00, and I just kept going on my hike. I didn't hear anything that whole day, the second day of my hike, and so I figured, you know, I was good. There was nothing following me anymore. then the next day, my hike back down, it's usually just a quick hike because I'm not stopping and looking around and stuff. And I got about halfway down to where I was going, and I heard some rustling in the bushes, and I stopped and I said to myself, cheese and rice, man, what is that? And I stood there terrified as this creature stood maybe 8-9 feet tall above me, looking down at me with his brown eyes. And I'm like 5'6", and I mean, it was about 8 feet tall, and I'm looking up at it, and I'm not going to lie right now, I pissed my pants. Down my leg, out the bottom, all on the ground was wet. Anyway, it let out this scream that I can't explain this scream. And, I mean, when I wrote it on Facebook, I described it as somebody was ripping the hooves off of a mentally challenged horse. I mean, that's the only explanation I can come up with. And at that point, I screamed like a little girl, and I sprinted down that road back to my Bronco, and I took off. I was gone. I had to go home.
Betsy, let me ask you something. When you saw this thing, what was the first thing that went through your mind?
The first thing that went through my mind was, I'm going to die right now. This thing's going to rip me apart by just the pure size of this creature. And, oh, man, I got to tell you about the stench this thing was spewing off of it. I mean, it's something like maybe if Kenny Rogers hadn't washed his beard in 3 months is what that would smell like. You know what I mean?
Give me a physical description. What is it? Was it long hair, short hair? Did it have...
go ahead.
Did it? Could you see its eyes? Could you see its teeth? Did it have canines? What did its nose look like? Did he have a thick neck? Did he have a long neck? Did he have long arms?
He was really built like big. You know what I mean? A lot of muscle, a lot of mass. The fur was, I'd say, medium length. You know, I was terrified. I wasn't trying to focus on what this thing looked like. I was more worried about getting away from it. You know what I mean? But I mean, its nose was kind of ape-like. It was just built big. Its neck was a shorter, stocky neck. It was like a brownish, purplish colored fur. And it was terrifying, I tell you.
So when you saw this thing, what did it do? Did it do anything? Did it make a noise?
Yeah, it let out this scream, this horrifying scream.
Did his arms go in the air? Did his arms stay down by its side? Or it just looked at you and screamed? Or did it make a mock charge towards you or what?
No, it didn't charge or nothing. It just stood up and it looked down at me, raised its arms up a little bit, not high up in the air, you know, like someone just scored a touchdown, but he raised them up and just let out this scream that just sent shrivel down my spine and made my bladder ache.
Yeah, okay, so let me ask you this, and don't feel bad about that. You're not the first one ever pissed its pants. There's a lot more people, but not many of them got the courage to tell the story as you're telling it, and I praise you for that, son. So here's the deal. Listen to me. So what do you think you came upon this thing? Was it eating or something? Was there berries or anything in the air?
You know, he was in this, it was a big bush. There may have been berries on this bush. I mean, usually on my hike back down, I'm just going, trying to get back. You know, I've been gone for a few days, so. I mean, he was in a bush. He may have been eating. He possibly, you know, I don't really know what he was doing at the time, but, man, I was scared.
Wow. Have you been there since?
You know, it was 3 weeks ago. No, I haven't gone back up there. I mean, I'm busy at work and stuff, but I'll definitely be going up next year like I always do. But this time I'll bring cameras and, you know, things like that so I can maybe get a picture of this creature. I mean, once I took off down the hill, I mean, I'm looking back trying to see if it's chasing me, you know, and it didn't. It stayed back there. I think it was just, I mean, it wasn't aggressive. It was just trying to get rid of me.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know what I got to say to you? Welcome to the world of Sasquatch, my friend.
Oh, yeah, and I'm happy to be in the world of Sasquatch.
For sharing with us.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, it's, you know, Do me this favor, if you would, Jesse. Let us know if you do go back up there. Let us know if there's anything else happening. And we're going to be on the road here in the next 30 days, and maybe you'll be one of the people that will be coming up to visit and film.
You know, that would be awesome. I would love that. I will take you right to the spot where I saw this thing, and I mean, we can do some research. I've always wanted to do some Bigfoot researching. I tried to be a part of the Bigfoot Ranger team one time, and I never got my ID card.
Well, you don't need no ID card with us. All you need to do is get your get your feet wet out there in the brush with us, and you'll know exactly what we're talking about. In any event, Marco, Bill, why don't you tell Jesse what to do, because we've got a lot more show ahead of us.
Yeah, Jesse, just hit your *6 button. You can listen to the rest of the show if you like.
Okay, awesome. Thank you, Marco.
Take care.
Thanks for sharing with us, Jesse.
Yeah. Jay Dizzy out.
Bye-bye. There's an energetic young man, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, I'll tell you what. You knew he seen something, did you? I'd like to meet him in person. You know what? Before we get up to our next guest there, Marco, let's go to a commercial and pay some bills.
Here we go.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up in Boston.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is too light.
And everything else, they just were too realistic.
And they're
to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody was manufactured
this. The hand was freaking
out. Into the woods.
Female.
I know what creature lives. Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And back to you, Tom.
Thanks, Marco. You know, ladies and gentlemen, you hear that commercial, Bigfoot Lives. One of the biggest achievements I've ever had in my life. You hear me talk about it over and over and over. But I'll tell you this. Until you've actually had a dream, made your dream come true, and seen everything come to fruition, you haven't seen anything yet. This movie is being hailed as the most authoritative Bigfoot documentary in the world. Don't believe me. Don't believe what the interviews and the comments that people have said. Get a copy yourself. Take a look. Let's see what it's all about. Me and my guys traversed this entire United States. It's an incredible movie. You see it yourself. You'll see it as we saw it, when we saw it, from the people who told the story. That's what it's all about. Great, great movie. Bigfoot Lives. Need to see it. Well, hey, we're going to go up to Washington. But talking about Washington, Ms. Butello, I tried to call you, but both your numbers are disconnected. I'm sure you still have mine. When you get a chance, call me later on. We're going to talk to Robert, ladies and gentlemen, up in Washington. He had an encounter in 1991. Robert, you're out there?
Hi, Tom. Yeah, Robert here.
How are you? First of all, thank you, Robert, so much for taking some time from your evening and joining with us. Marco Bill was telling me the story, and it sounds pretty incredible. Like I tell all my first time, yes, please don't feel embarrassed. You're just one of the guys, just like every one of us. Don't leave anything out. Tell us everything, Robert, from everything, from when it all started, the time of year, what you saw. Share it with us, okay?
All right, thanks, Tom. Yeah, I spent 20 years since this happened, but I remember what happened. And I'll tell you, it was back in 91. And well, I live in Seattle area, and I go hiking up here all the time, but I've never seen anything like what I saw in Georgia. At this time, I was going to school in Florida, in South Florida. I used to go camping up in Georgia with my friends. We like to camp in the mountains away from the mosquitoes. So we were up in Blue Ridge Mountains. It was the fourth night, and I got up in the morning. I had to go to the bathroom, and I had my toilet paper in my hand, and I went out of my tent, and I was going up a ridge. So we had set up camp by a creek. We would always hike on the trail, and then we would hike off the trail when it started to get dark and go till we hit the creek and set up camp by there so we could wash our camping gear and utensils and stuff and get drinking water. Anyway, so I was hiking up the ridge to go to the bathroom, and I look up, and about 15 feet up at the top of the ridge, there was a tree, and this thing was leaning out from the side of the tree. It was like holding onto the back of the tree and leaning off to the side.
Hello?
Sorry.
Sorry about that. So it was leaning off to the side of the tree, about seven and a half feet tall, and covered in hair, black hair. And it took me a second to realize what I was looking at, because I saw the hair, so I was close enough to make out the hair clearly, so I knew I was looking at some kind of animal, big animal. But I didn't see a snout or face where there should have been a face, right? So I just saw this hair. So at first, I thought I was looking at like the back of a bear's head or something, that it was facing the other way. That's what I thought at first. And then I saw the eyes, the black eyes looking at me from under the fur. And I've never been more scared. My hair still stands up on the back of my head when I think about it. And I had the toilet paper in my hand, and it was up on the ridge slightly above me, and it was very close. I thought, if I turn around to run back down the hill, it'll jump on me, whatever it is. And so I did probably the dumbest thing in my life, because I was a scrawny 17-year-old. I charged up the hill right at it with the toilet paper in my hand, and it ducked back behind the tree. And when I got to the top of that ridge there, and I looked around the tree and it wasn't there, and I looked down the ridge, I could clearly see it wasn't dense forest. The trees were well spaced out. And I looked down the ridge, and I didn't see it there either. And I looked all around, and I listened. More importantly, I didn't hear it running away. And there was like leaves on the ground and everything. I would have heard anything, that especially that size. So, and it dawned on me that it's got to be it really close still. Like it only went maybe 20 feet away and hid behind another tree. You know, but it was on the other side of the ridge now. So I turned around, and I sprinted back to camp. I figured it was far enough away that I was safe now. I scared it off. And so I got back to camp, and I don't know if I mentioned, I was camping with two friends, Robbie and Chris. And Robbie was out of the tent when I got back to the camp, and Chris was just coming out of the tent. And I decided at that time I didn't want to tell them what I just seen, because, you know, obvious reasons. And so I said to the guys, do you want to pack up and leave early? We're planning on staying one more night. And they both agreed. And so we packed up our gear, and we're driving back to Florida. And we hiked back. I didn't see anything on the way back. And we're driving back to Florida about halfway there. And Robbie says, guys, I didn't want to say anything because I thought you'd think I'm crazy. But this morning, early, I saw something when I came out of the tent. It looked like a really tall man, all black, like a shadow, just standing there by the creek. And it turned and walked away. And then it walked away right when I came up to him. It walked away. So that's what happened.
Wow. You know, I got to tell you, there's not many.
Hello?
Tell the story. You did. You still there?
Yeah, you broke up a bit. Sorry. What?
Okay. Not many people in this country, not many people in this world have had experiences like you've had. What went, like I asked my other guest, what went through your head when you saw this thing?
Well, like I said, the first thing I thought, I knew it was an animal of some kind because I was close enough to see the hair. And I didn't smell anything bad. Like other people said they smelled stuff. I didn't smell anything. The first thing I thought was that it was looking the other way because it was just all hair. There was no snout. I didn't see lips or eyes or anything at first. It was just all like a hairy back of like a grizzly's head or something. So that was the first thing I thought, oh, I've snuck up on nature. That's amazing. And then I saw the eyes. And boy, I realized it was looking right at me and scared the heck out of me.
Amazing. Amazing. Have you been there since, the same spot?
No. I didn't go back. I go camping up in this area in the Cascades all the time, you know. I've read it's supposed to be the hot spot of Bigfoot, but I've never seen anything or no prints or anything. What I saw in Georgia was the one and only time. I guess you could say I'm lucky, but I was just terrified.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. I appreciate you taking the time and sharing your story with us. And one more time, like I tell everyone, welcome to the world of Sasquatch, son.
Thanks for having me on, Tom. Appreciate it.
Thank you, and hopefully we'll keep you on file here. Maybe we get up there to see you, and we'll go out in that area and see what we can find.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Mute yourself out. We still got some more show left, okay?
Okay.
Thank you so much. That was Robert up there in Washington, ladies and gentlemen. You know, you hear these stories over and over and over, and you know where you hear them? Hear them live right here on BigfootLiveRadioShow.com. You don't hear it anywhere else. You hear it coming from the people themselves on our radio show. We've kept this thing alive, ladies and gentlemen. Marco, Bill, myself, my guys, and you. Because if it wasn't you out there listening, there'd be no us. Remember that, okay? You've all heard Travis kicking in about 40 minutes ago. Well, he's on there, too, now. He had an encounter just 2 years ago up in Utah. Let's get out there to Utah, get out there, and get Travis on. You out there, Travis?
Travis, hit your star 7 button.
Hey, good buddy. You out there,
hello?
Travis?
Yeah.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys?
Oh, excellent. Thanks so much for sharing your story with us here tonight. I understand that you had an encounter a couple of years back.
Yeah, I did. It didn't happen in Utah, though. It happened out in Wyoming.
Really?
On my story, Jackson Hole, Wyoming area?
Sure.
Yeah, that's where it happened.
Wow. Okay, well, listen. Like I tell all my first-time guests, you've got the floor, you've got the stage. Tell us everything. Tell my audience everything. Don't leave nothing out.
All right. Well, it was about 2 years ago, and, you know, my family goes up to Snake River, which is just probably 60 miles outside of Jackson Hole and about 40 miles from Alpine, and we run that river every year. And, you know, being an avid outdoorsman, we do an annual fishing trip, and we fish the river and the lakes that are in that area. And my personal favorite is this creek called Wilson Creek, and it's between actually Jackson and Alpine, and it's probably 15, 20 miles up the canyon, so you're definitely out where no people are, and I don't think I've ever seen anybody in that area. And me and my buddy took a drive up the canyon and was going to fish that creek the day, and we woke up about 6 a.m. and we fished about all day long, and, you know, did pretty well. We each caught our limit within about an hour, but we just decided to catch and release so we could fish the rest of the day. And started getting late, and we had our limit, and my friend actually ran out of water and his food supply, so he was going to run back down to Alpine and grab some, like, water and food just to hold him over till we got back to camp. And so he drove down to Alpine. I decided to stay and fish the night out and try to catch anything bigger, and he took off, and it was about 7:30 or so, and a storm started coming up over the mountain, and usually the storm will just blow over, and, you know, it rains for 10 minutes and then blows over and then get some clear weather. And so I thought I'd just waited out and excuse me. And I was waiting there and storm, it actually not only did it rain like cats and dogs, it started to hail a little bit, so I took cover under it was like a willow bush, and there's not much cover out there by the stream itself, and so I hid under that and decided I needed to start a fire when the storm was going to let up a little bit so I could dry off and stay warm until my friend got back with the truck. And so I started my fire up and just grabbed just a small bundle of sticks and stuff that was still dry rather than the wet stuff that was all over the place. And so I made a little fire, and about an hour waiting there, I heard something coming out of the bushes, and so I froze in fear, thinking that I had these fish on me and a bear was going to come and try to get me, or the fish, rather. And so I just sat there waiting, and nothing happened for about 5 minutes, and my fire started to die down, and I went to reach for some bushes or some like twigs to throw on the fire, and a dark shadow came out of the bushes ahead of me, and it's probably about 20 feet away, and it was just a dark shadow, and I was thinking it was a black bear up there, and just I thought it was going to come in and attack me, so I just held real still and thought if I didn't move, it would leave me alone and keep the fire going, so I threw the sticks on, and it just sat there, didn't move at all, and I was thinking that this bear was just watching me, waiting for fire to go away, and so I just froze there and just kept my eyes peeled on it and waited, and finally my fire started to die down, so when I reached to grab some more sticks, the fire was just coals. It was just smoldering red coals, and the creature moved about 5 feet closer, and so I grabbed some sticks in a hurry and threw them on the fire and got the fire going again a little bit. I mean, it wasn't anything big. It was just a small campfire, and creature just sat there. It was only 10 feet away, but it was still so dark, and it was just a black creature, and I thought there was no doubt in my mind that it was a black bear, you know, and so I sat there, and finally my fire started dying down more, and went about coals again, and I went to reach and grab some more, and it snuck even closer. It got to the point where it was almost literally on the other side of the fire from me, but I was frozen. I couldn't grab any more twigs or anything, and I just sat there, and all of a sudden I realized that it wasn't a black bear. It had been something else, and it started to reach towards me. And just then my friend came pulling up the dirt road back to pick me up, and so I just jumped up and ran. I left all my gear and everything, ran over to the truck and jumped in and told him that there was a bear and we needed to leave. And so we took off, and we actually went back up the next morning to get my gear, and there was no footprints or anything because of the rainstorm, but, you know, as far as I know, I can't say whether it was or wasn't a Bigfoot. I mean, I don't know if it was just my fear taking over, but, you know, all I know is it, the way it was hunched, it wasn't hunched like a bear would. It was hunched more like a large human or a gorilla. It wasn't hunched like any bear or animal that I've ever seen. But, yeah, that's about all that happened. I let my friend know, and I think he still thinks it was just a black bear, but I don't know. I'm still a skeptic in my eyes. I don't know.
Dallas, let me ask you this. You said it was about 20 feet from you, right?
Yeah.
You were stoking the fire.
Yeah, it was smoldering, smoking, and...
All right, so then you would put more twigs on the fire. Did you get to the point that in the firelight you could make out the frame of the body of this thing?
It looked like a gorilla except for the legs. Like, it had long arms. It was thick-bodied. Its neck, it went perfect with its head. It was just thick neck, and it hunched. And the only reason that I could tell that it looked more like a gorilla or something bigger was the fact that its legs were longer than what I expected from, like, a gorilla or a bear or anything like that.
Wow. Well, I can just picture. Now, you were up there by yourself, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What time of night was it?
By the time that happened, it was probably about 8:30 or so.
8:30 at night. What kind of elevation was it?
I don't know the elevation, actually. I have no idea.
Was it a national park? Was it somebody?
No, it's...
range?
It's, what's that?
Was it, you know, BLM land? Was it your friend's land?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was BLM.
Okay. All right. So, let me ask you this. Would you go back?
No, I haven't. You know, my family, we go up there every year, and this year I didn't get to make it back up there. I actually went on a vacation with my girlfriend's family instead, but, yeah, we go up there every year. I've fished that creek since I was little. All my life I've been up there. And, I mean, I've heard more stories about bears than anything, but, you know, I mean, even on my Facebook page you could see that I have pictures in Jackson, you know, we're always up in that area, and people always talk about how they see Bigfoot and things like that, and I'm still a skeptic. I don't know what I saw, but I figure if I tell you, you might have a better insight than I would.
Well, yeah, you know, it sounds like all the stories that we hear throughout the country, Travis. It's not just you or the guys up in Washington and the other guys in Utah and people in Texas. Let me tell you this. When you see one, you'll know what you saw. Trust me. But until then, I can just tell you this. Welcome to the almost world of Sasquatch.
All right.
Thank you for sharing with us, Travis. Mute yourself out, press your star 6 number, and we still got another story left before the end of the night. Thanks for sharing.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. That was Travis up in Utah, ladies and gentlemen. He had his little encounter, but we don't know what it was. But we're going to go out there to Arizona because we sure know what we got out there. And Alex is so happy right now. He's got his rig back, and it's raring to go. You out there, son?
I sure am, Pop. It's looking good, too. How you doing?
Well, is it running okay?
Yeah, I took it for a test drive, just took it out in the highway, just 10 or 20 miles down the highway and back, and it seems to be running okay, you know. It actually seemed to be running good. I liked that little SUV they had me in. It was, you know, a $45,000 vehicle, but it was a little car. You know, it wasn't a real truck, you know, a real rig. And glad to have my rig back. It's done. Yeah.
Hey, by the way, do you have the birthday boy with us tonight?
I think we do.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, it's Mitch Wade.
Yeah, Mitch
birthday. Hey, buddy, happy birthday for me and the gang and all these well-wishers all around the globe.
Well, thank you.
Do you feel any younger, Mitch?
No, I'm feeling as old as the hills and twice as dusty.
To you. Well, I hear you. Been there and back, son, guaranteed. What's been going on? Tell us. I understand there's some other action or some stuff that you put up on your website.
Yes, I was just up there this last Monday and Tuesday, and while I was up there, we had a visit during the night. I had all my cameras focused on the picnic table that I had goodies on that I thought would be the most interesting thing, and I had nothing on my trailer. Well, I was inside my trailer, and about 1:30, I started hearing heavy breathing outside, so I turned on my sound amplifier and recorder, and I started recording, and grabbed my night vision and started the camera up on that, and just about that time it grabbed hold of my trailer and started shaking. And so it kind of woke us up, and we stayed awake the rest of the night. When it first got light, we got out and looked around the trailer, and we found a 14-inch footprint sitting outside the trailer.
Wow. That is pretty incredible. How many did you find?
Well, only one that we could really make out as a footprint, and I had missed that with in the visual light. It was the infrared from my night vision camera that picked it up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the dirt was just really super hard.
Yeah, well, I understand you guys are still hitting weather there in the triple digits. Is that true?
Well, we got some rain today up there in the mountains. It should be good for footprints because it soaked the area real good today.
Had a big rain up there.
Yeah, Mitch, how the speed is this time of year?
What was that?
How are the mosquitoes?
Oh, the mosquitoes down here in the valley are terrible. They're just chewing everything up. You got to wear insect repellent as soon as you go outside. But up there in the mountains, they're not so bad. I think it's starting to cool off, and they're starting to thin out a little bit.
How is the ticks in that situation up there?
You know, we haven't had that much trouble with ticks. It's, you know, if you're thrashing through the bushes real heavy, you might pick up a couple. But normally, just walking through the forest, you don't have too much of a problem. I pick up some chiggers, though.
Hey, Pop?
Yeah.
I get that good taste in Italian skin, just like you. And, you know, I don't have a problem in Arizona. In the White Mountains was probably the worst, you know, over there in the Apache Res. But it's nothing like that on the rim or down in the valley near the Aztec Anchayas. You know, I wear shorts and T-shirts most of the time. In fact, usually I have to put on, like, my hiking gear to do some hiking because I'm in, you know, inappropriate clothes for that kind of stuff most of the time.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, you get out into the areas where we go, like, you'll get chewed up, you're going to quicker than hell.
Well,
I'm
a little less, they're not so bad.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, listen, thanks so much for filling us in, and Mitch, keep us aware this week, and happy birthday one more time.
Well, thank you much, and I'll keep you posted as to what happens.
Okay, great. Thanks, son, and go play with your new toy, okay?
I will, I will.
Okay. Thank you, Miss Calabash, wherever you may be, if you're still awake somewhere around this globe. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up in Ball Club.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like breaking day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size and everything else, they just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a tremendous
manufactured.
The hand was freaking
into the woods.
Female.
And what creature lives? Bigfoot lives in a movie
right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door.